2 Corinthians chapter 10, everybody find that. The Bible teaches that Christians are to live a holy life. It is God's will. The Bible teaches that Christians are to think pure thoughts. And the Bible teaches us that Christians are vulnerable to attack. And that we must be daily renewed in our spirit, because we live in a very unspiritual world. And so as a result of that, every believer first needs to find out what holiness is. And then secondly, that it is worth the effort that it takes to live a pure life. And so the scripture teaches us that we can be pure. And this process where that we deal with personal sin and we deal with the challenges that comes in a daily life or trying to be living a spiritual life in an unspiritual world is an area of growth that we call personal discipline. So I want us to look at it a little while tonight and ask the question, what is personal discipline? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Everybody find that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We've had some of our grandchildren with us, Nicole, Keith, and Kurt, and Luke with us for the last, since Monday. So we've been thoroughly enjoying them. And we've got more on the way. Some others will be in late tonight. And then everybody is going to be arriving at some point or another in the next day or so. And we're leading up to a fun time. How many of you are going out of town on the 4th? Going out of town. Where are you guys going? Inverness. Going where? Inverness. Going to Inverness. That's about as far out of town as I'd go if I were you. Amen. All right, know exactly where that is. All right, anybody else? Where else? Where are you going? Going to Virginia. Amen. All right. West Virginia. Amen. All right. Good. Who else is going? Yes. Going to Missouri. All right. Going to Kansas City. Okay, who else is going out? Anybody else? Anybody else staying local? So that means all the rest of you will be here Sunday. Because good. Good. I don't want to feel like I'm going to be up here preaching by myself Sunday. All right, we're glad that you're going to be in town. Hope you enjoy yourself. All right. What is personal discipline? Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 4. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what is personal discipline? From this we learn, number one, personal discipline is dealing with areas in our life where Satan has gained a stronghold. All right? Personal discipline is dealing with areas in our life where Satan has gained a stronghold, or at least he has gotten a foothold. Amen? Everybody, there are areas that you've got to struggle with. The Bible talks about there are besetting sins. There are things that your flesh is particularly prone to. It may be a mental attitude sin. Maybe that there's a problem that you have with your spirit. It may be a fleshly sin. Maybe it's something that you're physically drawn to. But there is some area in your life, and so these areas where Satan is trying to get a stronghold set up in your life, it takes a lot of personal discipline to deal with those areas in your life. All right? So what is personal discipline? From this we learn, number one, be sure you write this in. Personal discipline is dealing with areas in our life where Satan has gained stronghold. All right? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 5. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what is personal discipline? From this we learn, number two, personal discipline is taking charge of our thoughts. Say that with me. Personal discipline is taking charge of our thoughts, all right? And replacing them with good, clean, godly thinking. All right? Personal discipline is taking charge of our thoughts and replacing them with good, clean, godly thinking. I can't help what goes through my mind. Yes, you can. See, the Bible teaches us that the importance is to honor the law of replacement. If you don't put good things in there, Satan will put bad things in there. Amen? And whenever you find that there are things that are lodging in your mind, again, whether it's a fleshly sin, whether it's a something that's evil, or whether it's a mental attitude sin, where that you are just bad in your thinking. Maybe you're thinking bad toward another person. Maybe you're having doubts about the Word of God. Maybe you're questioning God's love for you. Maybe you're letting Satan fill your mind with confusion. Whatever it is, the Bible teaches us that it is our responsibility to replace that thought with a good thought. I like to quote from Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When I find something's coming and I go to feeling sorry for myself or feeling like that God somehow or another is not recognizing all that we do for Him. You know, whatever the devil tries to put in your mind, just say, "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And begin to put good thinking into your heart and your mind. What is personal discipline? It's taking charge of your thoughts. Are you a prisoner of your thoughts? Are you a prisoner to your thoughts? Preacher, I just can't help it, but you can. Yes, you can help it. A prisoner to your thoughts. You can have bad thoughts toward people. You can have bad thoughts toward your mate. You can have bad thoughts toward your parents. You can have bad thoughts toward your job. Are you a prisoner? Are you a person that just whatever way your flesh takes off, whichever way your mind goes, you feel like it, you can't do anything about it? The Bible tells us as a child of God, you have been set free. You have power to accomplish. You have power to overcome things if you choose to use that power. And so personal discipline is attacking those footholds that Satan gets into our life, attacking them with the Word of God, attacking them spiritually, and overcoming them, replacing the wrong thoughts with the right thoughts. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and look again at a verse that I bring to mind often in these kind of studies, because I think it's such a powerful verse that we need to understand it. Philippians chapter 4, the theme of the book of Philippians is how to have a happy mind. And how to have a pure mind. So with that being its theme, the whole book of Philippians is really, really helpful on this subject. But look at verse 8, Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue," take your pen, if you've not circled that little phrase, "if there be any virtue," the kind of things that you need to be thinking about are things that have virtue in it. If there be any virtue, or if they're words of praise. Those are always good words. Amen? It's always good when you've got words of praise floating around in there. But God doesn't expect you to go around day and night, 24/7, saying, "Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God." That's not real. That's not normal. But I tell you what He does want. When you're not praising God, He wants you to have things that are of virtue. things that are good for you, things that are healthy. If you find that you spend a large amount of the day thinking about the evils that men do unto you, you're wasting a lot of the time God's given you. If you are spending a lot of the hours of your day lodged in the past, you need to forget the things that are past. You are wasting the present. If you are finding that you are thinking about how that people are mistreating you at work, and thinking about how that mom and dad didn't quite handle you right 35 years ago when you were 21, you're wasting what God has given you. You need to find things that are of virtue. That's what you need to be thinking about. You need to be thinking good thoughts. You know why? Good thoughts pumps goodness into your life. Amen? Good thoughts brings contentment into your life. Good thoughts make you feel happy with what God has for you. Amen? Folks, this is a very serious thing, because the truth is, a significant number of Christians, they're not off in gross sin. They've quit their cussing, quit their running around with wild women, and they're no longer drinking or dipping snuff. They've straightened their life out, and they're not doing those things. But I'm going to tell you what they are doing. They're wrecking their life, because so much of their mind, their daily course of their life, is filled with things that have no virtue to it. All it is just bringing pain into your happiness. You're not enjoying your mate. You're not enjoying your home. You're not enjoying your job. You're not enjoying your church. You're not enjoying those that are near you, because you are constantly picking away at it, because the things that you go home and ruminate on are the things that have no virtue at all to them. Now, the Bible tells us you need to get enough personal discipline in your life that you learn how to replace your thinking. You need to know enough about you to know what you got to do to get you off of it. Amen? You need to be a student of yourself. You need to learn the science of correcting you. Amen? Know thyself. Say that with me. Know thyself. And so, what is personal discipline? Personal discipline is taking charge of our thoughts and replacing them with good, clean, godly thinking. Number three, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. What is personal discipline? Well, what does the Bible say? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just having Bible study tonight. Amen? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2. Everybody turn there. Now look at verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness." Now, the word flee means what? Get away from it, run from it. To flee doesn't have the idea of just kind of dragging along. It brings the notion of man getting with it, putting everything you got to get out of there. Flee. And the word follow here has the same concept of like running after righteousness. It you've got your eyes set on it. You're pursuing that. You're moving that way. You're following. It's like a bloodhound on a trail. You're just following wherever it goes. Your desire is to have a righteous spirit, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's your desire. So you're following that. You're running after it. You're pursuing it. In order to do that, you've got to run away from youthful lust. Now, that doesn't mean he's not talking about young people here. He's talking about things that have bothered you or have plagued you from the time you were young. Run from them. Run from them. Keep it out of your life. That's what you've got to do. And to do that, it's going to take personal discipline. There's nobody can set up a watch over you 24/7. They can't do that. You've got to develop a way to put a watch over yourself. Maturity is when you will put the disciplines on yourself that somebody else used to have to put on you. Amen? That's why some people are 60 years old and have never grown up. They're still immature. They got to have somebody watch them all the time. Personal discipline means that nobody has to watch you because you're watching yourself. Paul talked about that, how he kept himself under control. He said, I buffet. That means I gave himself a black eye. I worked myself over. So you've got to, it means that you are following after. So 2 Timothy 2:22 talks about fleeing and following. So from this we learn number three, personal discipline is a lifestyle that runs from ungodliness and follows after holiness and purity. It's a lifestyle. It's just the way you live. It's not something you do on Sunday or on Wednesday night. You don't live any differently on Sunday or on Wednesday than you do on Monday and on Friday. It's just that those are formal worship days. But you still think the same way. You still pursue the same things. You still stay away from the same things because you are exercising personal discipline. All right? Number two, what specific areas in our lives need personal discipline? Turn to James chapter 3. And this list that I'm going to share with you certainly is not exhaustive, but representative. You can easily take these and expand upon them, and we could be here for a long time, but I'm going to just give you just a few to sort of get your thoughts moving in that direction. James chapter 3. What specific areas in our lives need personal discipline? Well, James 3, look at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. James said, there's just so many different areas that we offend. He said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, he's talking about our mouths, isn't he? He goes on and talks quite a bit about the tongue and being a whirl of iniquity, and he describes it like the mouth of being able to control it. It's like being able to, like a rudder on a ship. And it's important that we understand that we need to put a control on our mouths, don't we? If there's any area that we need personal discipline in, it's in the area of speech. Turn to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Now remember, these studies that we do on Wednesday nights, these are studies that you need to keep. Write these verses down, because as you interact with people, and people ask you, why do you believe what you believe? You need to be able to go to Scripture and verses and show them. And if you'll carefully find these verses, underline them in your Bible, fill out these study sheets, keep them with you. And if you've lost some of them, they're in books that we have. You can get those. But if you will have these with you, it will help you answer people why you believe what you believe. All right? So look at what it says. Psalm 141, and look at verse 3. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. keep the door of my lips. So from this we learn, number one, what specific areas in our life need personal discipline. Number one, we need personal discipline in the words we speak. The words you speak. You know, your words can lift up or they can tear down, can't they? You know, I don't understand why in such a tough old world, where as brothers and sisters in Christ, young people, listen to me. You know, young people like to have these little cut-down sessions where that they to show which one of you is the coolest. It's the one who can come down with the biggest put-down. But you know, as Christians, that's not what we're here to do. It's not to put people down. It's to build people up. And you can use your words to make people feel better about themselves. Or you can use words to make people have hang-ups that they may never get over the rest of their life. I talk to people, and sometimes maybe a brother or sister used to kid them or rag them about an area that they were sensitive about. And now, in adult life, that nags with them, bothers them. You can be at school and you can have an opportunity and you can say something that's despairing, something that's hurtful to a classmate about themselves. And you can cause them to have an image of themselves that's not right. And they may never overcome it. And you did that to them. I'm saying that, folks, if there's ever an area you need to have control over your, have personal discipline, it's over your mouth. So are the words you say. You know, everybody, there's something that you can do that will help people more than anything I know, and it does not cost you a thing. You don't have to go and take them out to eat. You don't. It's just simply a sincere, genuine compliment. A sincere, genuine compliment. And, you know, if you will just get up and decide today, my mission today, I'm just going to see how many people that as I interact, as I go through the day, how many people the Lord will give me a chance to just say something complimentary. I want to see how it goes. You take a day and dedicate to that, and you tell me at the end of that day that it's not been a great day for you. Not to mention the people who have come in contact with you that day. For you. You're going to come at the end of that day and you're going to say, it's been a good day. And you're going to feel so good. And the truth is, all you did was you did for a little while what Jesus did everywhere he went. It's something you're not going to run out of. I heard someone say one time, you know, that they said, I don't give a compliment unless it's something real, real special. That's so sad. That says a lot about you. In this world that we live in, that is so hard on God's people, why would we ever choose to be hard on each other? Amen? You know, I tell people when you're out soul winning, when you go up to a house, on your way to the house, you look around and find something to compliment. And you always can. And if you can't, the problem is not with the place you're approaching. The problem is with the one that's approaching the place. You can always find something that you can give. I'm saying a sincere compliment. And you know what that does? That disarms everyone. Because the truth is, everybody's having a hard time. Everybody would like to know, how am I doing? Everybody would like to be encouraged instead of pushed down. When someone gets up here and sings, you ought to let them know, hey, I appreciate that. That's why I think if we're going to applaud everything else, How about giving a little word of approval to God's servants? I know some of you come out of churches where, you know, you wouldn't dare applaud when somebody does something. Wouldn't do that for nothing. You know, you'd applaud a ball game. They can throw a pigskin around, you applaud that. But you're afraid you're going to give somebody a big head if you happen to give them a compliment. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about that. The devil will take care of deflating. You don't have to worry about it. He may be using you to do it. But he'll take care of deflating. I think we need to encourage each other. Amen. You ought to encourage your Sunday school teacher. You ought to encourage your youth director. You ought to encourage our staff at this church. You ought to encourage the bus workers, bus drivers, the children's workers. When you see these young people doing something that's good, you ought to be encouraging them for it. Some of you never say a word to the teens until you see them talking or something in church, and then you're glad to go talk to them then, tell them straighten up, behave, act right. Well, you know what? That would go a lot longer, Father, with them if they also heard something nice from you once in a while. Huh? I'm saying that what is personal discipline? Personal discipline is a lifestyle that runs from ungodliness, follows after holiness, and we need personal discipline in the words that we speak. Amen? Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. What specific areas do we need personal discipline in? Proverbs chapter 25. You know, our homes might be a whole lot happier to go home to if there were some nice words said in the home once in a while. Amen? Good words. We need discipline in the words that we speak to each other. Proverbs chapter 25. Now look at verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It is defenseless. So, number two, we need personal discipline in the spirit of our temperament. Do you have any control over your moods? Just everybody, just leave me alone. Right now I'm in a bad mood. So just back off. Give me some space. Is that what everybody got to do? Because you're in a bad mood, everybody else got to tread lightly. Oh, woo. Back off. You're in a bad mood. Boy, doesn't that glorify God. Amen? Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me if I'm in the mood for it. Now look, when I first get up in the morning till I have my first cup of coffee, I'm a grouch. So just stay awake. Huh? Personal discipline. We need personal discipline in our temperament, our moods. How about impatience? Yeah, I knew it. I knew I was going to keep digging around until I found somebody holler, ouch. Impatience. Yeah. I mean, how many of you today on I-4 coming in? You just really did not have a good spirit at all. Personal discipline in our impatience. What about in our anger? Do you need personal discipline in learning to control your anger? Do you feel like that just because you're angry, you have a right to mistreat others, say things you ought not say, do things you should not do? I was just mad, preacher. I was just mad. What about rudeness? Do you need personal discipline to control your temperament so you're not rude at times? Huh? So from this we learn number two, we need personal discipline in the spirit of our temperament. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. What specific areas in our lives do we need personal discipline? Now remember, the process of dealing with personal sin and experiencing personal growth is called personal discipline in our life. So where do we need that? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So from this we learn, number three, we need personal discipline in the use of our time. You know, God gives us all the same amount of time every day. Every morning you get up, He deposits 24 hours into your account. And some people, because of laziness and slothfulness, they are misusing their time. They don't have time to read the Bible, preacher. I just don't have time. And because of their misuse of time, sometimes because of slothfulness and setting godly priorities in our life, finding balance between family and work, and play, and service. You know that God expects every Christian to allot a certain amount of time to Christian service. Everybody is to serve in the Christian mission field. You are either a missionary or you are a mission project. Everybody is to serve. And yet there are some people, because of their lack of personal discipline, you know, if you go and you flop down and you can't move for 12 of those hours, that cuts down a little bit of thing that you're going to do. So we're talking about having a discipline over your use of time, finding a balance where that there's time for family, time for work, time for play, and time for God. We are to take charge over our time. All right? Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Book of Proverbs chapter 13. What specific areas in our life need personal discipline? Look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools. From this we learn, number four, we need personal discipline in our choice of friends. Personal discipline. There are people that maybe you might like to be around, but you ought not be around them, because they do not make you a better person. They make you a worse person. I don't want to be around somebody that makes me a worse dad. I don't want to be around somebody that makes me a worse husband. I don't want to be around somebody that makes me a worse pastor. I don't want to be around somebody that makes me a worse Christian. So the Bible tells us that the people with whom we associate, we need personal discipline. Personal discipline. I made a decision in my early ministry life when I was about 27 years old, to make a big change. I left a denomination that I had pastored in for 8 years. I left the alma mater, the schools I had gone to, and a lot of friends that I had collected, because I believed that as a denomination, they were moving in the wrong direction. I went to their schools, and when I saw how liberal they were getting, not people in the pew, but the people in the pulpit, and certainly the professors who stood in our schools. And I decided I cannot be around a denomination that's going to teach that Jesus Christ was not necessarily virgin-born, that the miracles of the Bible do not necessarily mean exactly what they mean. I can't support that. I'm not going to put my tithes in something that I can't support with my convictions. But to leave that was very painful. But you know, you have to make a decision in your choice of friends. You have to decide. It should not be just because you enjoy being with certain people. They ought to be bringing you up. If they're not, you need to choose to be around those that bring you up, not bring you down. That takes personal discipline. That's hard to do. Young people have to make those decisions. You go to school. There's kids at school that are trying to live for God, and there are kids at school that are as phony as can be. And you know who they are. There's kids that come to church, and they'll come in church and sit and look right, and the moment that everybody turns their head, they're over there trying to do something dubious and devious, and they're texting when they're not supposed to be texting, and they're writing notes when they're not supposed to be writing notes, and they're not interested in spiritual things, and they're not fooling anybody. You know that they're not, but you want to hang around them because you don't have any personal discipline. Amen? Personal discipline. We need discipline in our choice of friends. And that's not just young people. You need it when you are in your 20s. You need it when you're in your 30s. You need it when you're in your 60s. You need it when you're 80. You need to make sure that throughout your life you have enough personal discipline that when you're around people that are trying to bring you down, that you can say, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not doing that. We need personal discipline. Turn to Ephesians 5 and look at what it says in verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Amen? Have enough personal discipline. It says, reprove them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What does the Bible say about personal discipline? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We said that we need to have personal discipline in our choice of friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now look at verse 20. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look at chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. And look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9 and look at verse 27. It says, but I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now from this we learn, number 5, we need personal discipline in the way we take care of our bodies. Amen? We need personal discipline. Our bodies have both a spirit, our soul, and flesh. And we're to take care of the flesh, and we're to take care of our spirit, our soul. We have to take charge of both of them. And it takes personal discipline to do that. Our bodies, as well as the Holy Ghost that lives in us, is a sacred trust, and it must be cared for consistently. We ought not abuse ourselves physically. Amen? With the way that we eat and the things that we drink and the places that we go that harm us physically. Our body is on loan from God. And we ought to have enough personal discipline to take care of our bodies. Amen? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I said, number one, we need to have personal discipline in the words we speak. Number two, in our temperament. Number three, in the use of our time. Number four, in our choice of friends. Number five, in the way that we take care of our bodies. And then chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse 33. Verse we again use often, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Number 6, we need personal discipline in the way we treat God. In the way we treat God. How do you treat Him in your life? How do you treat Him? How do you treat God? Do you act like that you want to be in His presence? Or is Bible reading always a chore? Let's get it over with. Hey, hurry up here. Is that it? Is prayer time something that you just dread, but you promised you'd do it? So you get up and run through prayer. How do you treat God? How do you treat God about coming to church? Is coming to church, is that a get to or a got to? I got to go to church. Well, how often do you have to go to church, preacher? You done messed up. Try that when you tell your new bride. How often do I have to come home to you? I do. Now let's just get this straight right here at the wedding altar. How much do you expect me to come around? Once a week, three times a week, every day, what? How do you treat God? Here is a being that knows you and loves you, knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. How do you treat Him? We need personal discipline in the way that we treat God. For conclusion, turn to Titus chapter 2. Let me give you one other passage of Scripture. Titus chapter 2. It says, in all things, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. What's he saying here? He's saying that from this we learn, we must pattern ourselves as an example of good works in both doctrine and the way we live. Pattern ourselves. We need to have enough personal discipline that we can pattern ourselves as an example of good works in both doctrine and the way we live. You know what? When you become a Christian, you get to model to the rest of the world how a Christian handles life. When you get a setback in your life, guess what? There's some non-Christians watching. Okay, let's see how this is done. Because a Christian life is not like this. It's got valleys, hills, ups, downs. It wins and it loses. So you're to have enough personal discipline when you have a loss in your life. You are supposed to show the world how a child of God handles a loss. You're supposed to have enough personal control over yourself that you don't lose it. Throw a cussing fit. Quit God and quit church for 3 years. Go out, get drunk. That's not the way a child of God. Now, that is the way the world handles it. If you don't have God in your life, that's typical. We expect that. But when you've got somebody that's holy to hang on to, when you've got the Holy Spirit putting something in you, then there ought to be a difference in the way you handle promotion and the way you handle defeat. You're supposed to be a pattern. A pattern is something you can lay it down and just trace it into your life. God says, I want you to be a pattern. I want you to be a model that others can look at, that I'm going to put in your path. People you work with, people you live around, family members. And they can see from you how you handle life, how a Christian is supposed to handle life. And I want you to have enough personal discipline that you can do it. You know what that means? Folks, that means sometimes getting up and coming to church when you don't want to get up and come to church. Amen? It means getting up and going to work when you don't want to go to work. It means getting up and changing a baby's diapers when you don't want to change a baby's diapers. That's personal discipline. It means going to school when you don't want to go to school. That's personal discipline. He said, I want you to have enough I want you to have enough control over you that you can do the right thing even when your heart's not in it. Amen? Do you ever have to do things in life when your heart's just not in it? Oh, yeah. But the Bible tells us if you will commit your way unto the Lord, your thoughts will be established. In other words, you do what is right because it's right. You do what is right because that's what you're supposed to do. Even though your heart's not in it, commit thy way unto the Lord. Do the things you ought to do. Have enough personal discipline to make yourself do it, even when you don't want to do it. Enough discipline over you to say, hey, you're going to do it because it's right. And when you have enough control over you to make yourself do what is right, then your thoughts will be established. You do what is right because it's right, and after a while, it'll feel right again. And you'll be glad you did. Now, let's bow our heads tonight with heads bowed and eyes are closed. We're talking about personal discipline tonight. We're talking about looking at yourself and going home tonight and being real honest and say, hey, where do I need to work? Do I need to work on the words that I speak? Am I filling my life every day full of trash? Because all I'm talking about is negative things, hurtful things, down things. A significant number of hours a day I'm pumping into my own life. Defeat and despondency? Do I need to look into my own life and get control over my moods? Am I misusing my time? Do I need discipline in the choice of friends that I'm spending time with? How am I treating God? What kind of an example have I been in the last few months of how a Christian ought to handle life with all of its setbacks? With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, I wonder how many of you say, preacher, tonight's study, there's at least one area in tonight's study that really hit me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? There is at least one area. Hands are up all over the house. In a moment, we're going to stand. God spoke to you. Come and kneel and talk to God about that area and say, Lord, would you help me to begin to develop personal discipline? I want to become a pattern of good works in these areas that I know I'm struggling with. In a moment, we're going to stand. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you tonight to come and give your heart to Jesus. Come and take me by the hand. We'll show you how to be saved. Let's stand, shall we? Would you come?